This is Kristen Nicole Young, and you're listening to the Headbands and Hard Truth podcast. Hey, welcome back. We are starting to wrap up our end time series. So if we get through everything today, this will be the last episode. If not, we'll just have one more left. So we are nearing the end. Thanks so much if you have watched all these videos, and I know it's a lot to take in, it's a lot to dive into, but thanks for following along, thanks for studying with us. It's been really neat to do this. So we are going to pick up where we left off last week, I think talking about the Great Tribulation, so we're going to just go ahead and jump into it because we've got a lot to talk about.
Yep. So there's a lot to be said about the Great Tribulation. And last week we read Revelation chapter 12. And the main point that we were drawing out of Revelation chapter 12 is to see that Satan was thrown down. John saw this. He saw this in heaven. Satan was thrown down and he had great wrath. And he was pursuing, the woman, Israel. And he was also pursuing the rest of her offspring, who is the church. And so we are the offspring of Israel. And that was the main point of what we wanted to see last week, to know and understand that the Great Tribulation is not the time of God's wrath. It is the time of Satan's wrath, because he is angry. He is wrathful about the fact that he has a limited amount of time. And so he then pursues Israel, and he pursues the church. Israel is taken to a place of safety. Israel being the people, the nation, right? The heritage that's Israel, true Israel. And they are taken to a place of safety and protected by the Lord during this time until their eyes can be opened to Jesus, the true Messiah. But the church is we remain. And the dragon, or Satan, then comes after, pursues the church. So, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus, we will be the target of Satan's wrath. Okay, so that was the main point. A lot of other really great stuff in Revelation chapter 12. But this is, again, a broad overview and a big flyover of all of this, so we are not going to delve into all of that. But this week we're going to look at Revelation chapter 13 and start talking a little bit more about what the Great Tribulation is actually going to look like. So we know from last week and from Revelation chapter 12 that the Great Tribulation is Satan's wrath, him pursuing the church, okay, and persecuting, killing, all those things, right? Making life difficult, if not impossible, for the church. And so now in Revelation chapter 13, we're going to get a few more details about what is actually going to be going on, okay? So we're going to read all of that, and let's see, Kristen, would you read 1 through 9, and then I could read the rest?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Revelation 13, starting in verse 1. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And an authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear.
Okay, and then picking up with verse 10. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Okay. So, again, there is a lot packed into Revelation chapter 13, and I will not answer all the questions. Won't be able to touch on everything in this chapter. The main things that I want to touch on are, first of all, to know who is at play here. So, we've got this beast out of the sea, and we have this beast out of the earth. Okay, and the beast out of the sea is the Antichrist, okay? And we know that the Antichrist will be indwelled by Satan himself. So he will be possessed. He will be a man, but he will be possessed by the spirit of Satan himself, okay? Not just one of the demons, but by Satan himself. So that's a pretty big deal. And then you have this beast out of the earth, and we understand him to be the false prophet, okay? So he is someone who will come alongside the Antichrist, and he will, he'll have authority that the Antichrist also has, but he will be the one who basically he'll be like a religious leader or religious figure, because he's going to make everyone worship the beast, okay? Worship the Antichrist. And we know that, so if you go and if you look in verse 15, speaking specifically of the beast that comes up out of the sea, it says that there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given him. And I think, if you remember, if not, go back and watch the video, the last video.
That was verse 5.
I'm sorry, verse 5. I said 15. I meant verse 5. Yes, thank you. So, the last video we mentioned, because in chapter 12, it talks about 1,260 days, or 1,260 days, how the woman would be taken into the wilderness, and she would be nourished for 1,260 days. So, that last half, that 3.5 years, okay, so at the midpoint is the abomination of desolation, right? That's the point at which the Antichrist comes. He takes his stand in the temple. He puts an end to sacrifice. He declares himself to be God. He desecrates the temple. He demands the worship of the world. He institutes, or he puts into place, this beast system, this final beast empire, and it basically is kicked off. So that's at the 3.5 year mark. And so from that point, so 3.5 years on a lunar calendar is 1260 days. So now here in, chapter 13, verse 5, you see the term 42 months. Well, that's that same amount of time. And I think we mentioned it last week. Did we mention that? Okay. So you've got, you see it three different ways. You see it either 1260 days, you see it as time, times, and half a time, and you see it as 42 months. So, again, that's where we see he has a limited amount of time. So, as bad as all of this news is, the good news is that the time is limited, right? It will be for a limited amount of time. And we know, too, like I said last week, Jesus will cut it short. He'll cut it short because no life would be saved otherwise. That's how terrible it's going to be. That's how terrible this demonic, satanic leader will be, right? He is going to unleash hell on the earth. And so the good news being there's a limited amount of time. So for that 42 months. So then if you go on down into where it starts to talk about the beast out of the earth. Okay, so starting in verse 11, the beast coming up out of the earth. We start to see a little bit of kind of how things are going to look. So we know that that the false prophet is going to basically oversee and make sure that everyone is worshiping the Antichrist. Now, we know that those of us who hold to the testimony of Jesus, we're not going to bow, right? We're not going to bow down. We're not going to capitulate. We're not going to give in to the Antichrist. We worship no one but God, no one but Jesus. And we pledge our allegiance to no one but Him. And so, obviously, that's going to cause problems, right? This is where we start to see the issues that are going to be caused for those of us who hold to the testimony of Jesus. The Antichrist, he's going to have authority, and so is this false prophet. They're going to have authority. They're going to have power. They're going to exercise that authority over us, the Christians, and they're going to be allowed to overcome the saints. It says that, I think, in verse... In verse 7, it says that they're given authority to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, that is a big deal. That's a big deal because God protects His people. But He's going to allow this window of time to happen where the Antichrist will be allowed to overcome the saints. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to give in to him. That just means that... there's just not going to be much place to run and to hide, you know, and the Antichrist will see to it, and so will the beast from the earth, the false prophet. They are going to, well, again, let's just think about where we're living and what's going on. If you think about 1984 and you think about Big Brother and you think about how we're being watched and monitored and how, you know, we are basically going to be forced to do whatever it is that the government's trying to say they want us to do, and that it'll be like that, but on a grander scale.
When you think about just the fact that, like, so, you know, when I used to read Revelation, it was like, oh my gosh, it seems so, like, far off. But, like, when you start to think about it in terms of where we are now, like the developments that we've already have as a society, like, think about your smartphone. Like, your smartphone can literally see you and listen to you, and that's already makes me want to throw up and get a flip phone. But like, your smartphone or a smart TV or an Alexa or a Google Home are all things that are in your home that can hear you and see you and know your location. So even just thinking about that, like, you know, it talks about how, and I think this is probably different, but it talks about, like, an image that'll be, like, that everyone will have, an image of the beast, and it'll have breath in it to be able to report back, essentially, and say, hey, these people aren't worshiping you. That's wild to think about, but when you start to look at it in terms of our culture, like, we already have devices in our home, in our pocket, that we're monitored by.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate that so
much. Yes. And that's, you know, Kristen's talking about in verse 15, it says, and it was given to him, being the false prophet or the beast out of the earth, it was given to him to give breath to the image. So what the false prophet is going to do is he's going to make sure that everyone has this image of the beast, right? Because the Antichrist, again, remember, he's going to take a seat in the temple. He's going to demand the worship of the world, right? And then the false prophet is going to see to it that that happens. So they're going to, you know, everyone's going to have this image of the beast. I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know if it's like an actual statue. I don't know if it's a hologram. I don't know what it is, but it's an image, okay? And the false prophet has power to give breath to the beast. That word breath in the original language, in the Greek language, it means spirit. So that image, if you can imagine it having, yes, it's crazy, right? Having spirit in it. And it is able to, it says, reading on, it says that, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this image that's going to have this spirit in it will be monitoring, right? And they're going to be everywhere. These images will be everywhere because everyone is supposed to have one. I mean, this is where it gets really sci-fi, right? But then when you think about it, like Kristen's saying, the technology is there. The technology is there in our world right now. Oh, yeah. You know, there was a time, and I think like Kristen is saying, there was a time when I studied this that I thought, man, that sounds so weird. You know, like I could not even imagine a world, you know, where that could happen. But we're there. We're there where the technology is present for that. And where do you go where there's not a camera? You know, mm-hmm. Where do you go? You go to the stores, there are cameras. In your phone, in your pocket, there's a camera, right? Everybody's got street a phone lights. In their pocket. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. everywhere. So there's nowhere that we can escape. And this is obviously, again, going to be on a grander scale. They will up it, you know, they will bring it to the next level, so to speak.
But the infrastructure, like you're saying, like the infrastructure is there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely there. And so together, and there's so much that could be said here, and you know, even now I'm like just swirling around in my head, what all do I want to say? There's a lot that could be said, but you've got this these two characters in play, the Antichrist, you know, the beast out of the sea, and this false prophet, the beast out of the earth, and they're working in tandem, right? They're like the diabolical duo that are working together, and they're going to implement this system where if you don't take this mark, whatever that is, you know, there's been a lot, I'm sure you've heard, you know, oh, that's the mark of the beast. Oh, that's the mark of the beast, you know, like a chip, you know, microchips or the RFID chip, you know, oh, that's definitely the mark of the beast. Well, I don't know. We don't know, but I do believe this. I do believe that as Christians, as believers, that we will be very aware of what it is and that we are making a conscious decision, mm-hmm. either one, to take it or not to take it. And if we are truly followers of Jesus, if we're true believers, there's no way mm-hmm. that we will take that mark. No way, mm-hmm. okay? So,
And even with that, just going back to the infrastructure that's in place, like, you know, once again with the mark of the beast, I used to think, that's so crazy. Like, there's no way. Like, you know, I thought that it would be like some tattoo. I don't know. I didn't know what it was going to be, like a stamp or, you know, whatever. But when you think about it and you think about how they're trying to identify certain individuals, you know, that's coming up, you know, asking for vaccine identification or whatever it might be. I mean, if you think about it, you think how easy I think it is to slip in the mark of the beast into society, into culture. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. I think that, I mean, the Spirit of the Lord will give us wisdom and discernment. And I think that Christians like who follow Jesus will collectively be like, that's definitely it. You know, I think it'll be undeniable, but we can see how easily it will slide in to, the culture, because already there's already been, and when they talk about technology, it's like 10 years old probably, like mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, it's dramatic, but like 5 years old. Like if they're talking about technology and we know about it, they're like 20 steps ahead of us, and mm-hmm. it's like that's old technology. And but like even things about them talking about, you know, having a chip in your hand for identification, and even Amazon has like the Amazon One, where it's like you like scan your hand and you can pay and it's like your identification and all sorts of things. Like the technology is there. And if you think about it, like it's just going to slide into our culture mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. easily. And it'll be like, you know, I think people who are unbelievers would be like, oh yeah, this is like how we shop now. You know, like you have your card on your hand. I mean, think about how our society is like mostly cashless now because everybody switched to a debit card because everybody started paying that way, and that's how the tender was taken. And so now everybody has a debit card or a credit card, and that's how they pay. And if you don't, you know, and a lot of places don't take cash anymore. I think that's how it's going to be. It's like, if you have this mark, then you can pay, you can buy. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And those are great points. And there's so just from the things that Kristen was saying, you can easily, you know, look yourself at what's going on in the world. And, you know, I'm going to take this little rabbit trail here to just say how important it is that we do educate ourselves and that we are aware of what's going on in the world. That we don't stick our heads in the sand and just say, oh, I don't want to know about that because that's hard and that's not fun and that's, you know, that's depressing or whatever. You know, personally, I have to take breaks from it at times. I mean, I'm a researcher, I'm a learner, I'm a studier, I'm a lifelong student. I want to learn, I want to know, I want to, and not for the sake of knowledge, but because I want to know the Lord. I want to know the Lord, I want to know what He knows. For Him to reveal those things to me, for Him to show me, for me to see things the way He sees them. And so I like to read a lot, and I can have a tendency to get so wrapped up. And I mean, I know Kristen, I send her stuff all the time. I know she's got to be thinking, Mom, I have 3 kids. I don't have time for this. You know, my kids are all gone from home now. And so, you know, I can read all day if I want, but not that I do. But yeah, so you can just, I'm saying all that to say that you can, we need to know what's going on in the world, but you can take a look. You can take a look at the things that are going on in the world and see how, yeah, this could be that. This could lead to that. This could lead to the mark of the beast. This could possibly be technology that would be used by the mark of the, or by the beast, right? By that system. So many things, you know, and there's a lot of things that are unknown, but one thing that we have to know and understand is what it says is that if we don't take the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy or sell, okay? So let's just think about that for a second. If you can't buy or sell, I mean, if you just took 5 minutes to imagine your life not going to Walmart, right, or Kroger, or wherever you go, wherever you shop, Amazon, or whatever it is, you know, imagine not being able to do those things, mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, if we, here in Arkansas, if it's going to snow even, you know, half an inch, we're all, like, at the store buying all the bread and milk, you know, because we might not be able to go to the store for 2 hours or something, you know, or for a day, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of get freaked out whenever we think, I'm not going to be able to go and get the things I need. Well, imagine that being life, you know? And so we don't live in fear, and that's one of the things I repeat to myself. It's one of the things I repeat whenever I teach this, is that we don't live in fear, because guess what? The spirit of fear is from Satan, and he will use the spirit of fear in your life to gain access, to gain control, to manipulate you. So we do not live in fear, because God is greater than all of that. God surrounds us. He is a shield about us. He is our protector. He goes before us, behind us, beside us. There's nowhere we can go that God is not there, and that he has not already been. So God does protect us, and there's no reason to live in fear. But the reality is, there's also the truth of preparation. There's also the truth of being prepared for things such as this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says also that you won't be able to sell. I mean, so you wouldn't have a source of income,
right?
For, you know, yeah. I think for a lot of people.
Yep. So what it doesn't tell you is that you can't trade, and so you can't buy or sell. But this is where community is so important. That as we have our Christian brothers and sisters and our Christian family, you know, then if you can imagine and think back to, like, the old times, like, you know, 1800s and even before that, whenever the early days of America. Where people relied on each other, you know, one grew corn and one grew, you know, whatever it might be, and they would swap out, you know, trade with each other. So all of those things, and those are things that we need to think about. You know, ultimately, Jesus is going to cut it short. It's going to be a time that's unparalleled, unprecedented, Very difficult days. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, over and over again, this time period is called the time of Jacob's trouble. So it is a very troublesome time, a very difficult time. Again, you know, depressing to think about and talk about. But again, Jesus will cut those days short. When he comes, when he returns to get us, which we've talked about, those six seals, right, that are broken in Revelation chapter 6, and then also Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 24, those six seals are broken. And when that sixth seal is broken, we see those signs and the sun, moon, and stars, and then we see Jesus coming on the clouds. And I'm telling you, if we are the ones who go into that, whoever, whatever generation of Christians go into that, they are going to be ready, right? You know, it's funny, sometimes I jokingly say whenever I'm teaching this that, you know, I mean, I remember as a teenager thinking about the return of Jesus, and it was like exciting, but you know, I was like, oh, but I mean, I want to get married, and I want to, you know, have kids and kind of experience some life, you know, before Jesus comes back. And that's understandable, but there, if we go into this time, we're not going to want to wait. We are going to be looking for and waiting and begging for his return. Mm-hmm. And it will be an amazing sight to see him return to get us, to rescue us. And it will be indeed a rescue, right? And to cut those days short, to say to the Antichrist, you are done. Mm-hmm. And you are no longer allowed to hurt my children, right? So that's the good news, is that that Jesus is going to cut it short. And I know that our time is kind of winding down on this video. But I want to end in Revelation chapter 22:1. Let's see, hang on, where is it? Yeah, chapter 21. Let me put my glasses on. I think it's 21. Basically, yes, it's 21. So let me just read some of this, okay? So after all this stuff goes down, and let me say this too. We've only covered a portion of what's going to happen, okay? That 70th week of Daniel, we've only covered a portion of it. It's been a total flyover. It's been the big picture view. There's so much more to talk about, so much more I would love to talk about. But after Jesus returns to get us, to rescue us, it's not over yet, right? That is when Jesus returns, that's the end of the age, and that's the day of the Lord, okay? That is the beginning of the wrath of God. So that great tribulation period, what is that? Remember, it's the great tribulation, or it's the wrath of Satan, which we read about in Revelation chapter 12. Well, when Jesus returns, that's the day of the Lord, and that begins the wrath of God, okay? So after the wrath, or after that happens, you have the seventh seal that gets broken. There's silence in heaven. Basically, it's, in my view, it's heaven holding its collective breath, saying, oh my goodness, God is about to pour out his wrath, okay? And then you have these seven trumpets, and then you have the seven bowls of wrath that are poured out. So you still have all these things that are left to happen, okay, that unfortunately is beyond the scope of the study that we're doing here. All this stuff happens, cataclysmic, you know, tumultuous, people dying, death, destruction. But let's look at, this is the good news that's coming shortly after that. Revelation chapter 21, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And this is starting in verse 1. "For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true." So there is a time coming that is worth waiting for. It is worth waiting for because it will be so glorious. It will so outweigh and outcompare anything that is bad or negative or depressing or hard. Mm-hmm. Good things are coming. Good things are coming. And the thing is that as the saints, and that is what we are, we're not calling ourselves saints. That's what the Bible calls us. We're saints, not because we're perfect. We're saints because Jesus lives in us and has cleansed us, and we are clothed in his righteousness. And so it's the perseverance of the saints mm-hmm. that is what God is wanting. He wants mm-hmm. us to persevere, to keep mm-hmm. going, to keep pressing forward, even when it's hard, even when we're scared, which again, we've got to throw that spirit out, but mm-hmm. keep moving forward and keep persevering, and good things are coming. And that is the good news. That is mm-hmm. the good news.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good place to end it on. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks for watching. This has been a great series. I hope that you have learned a lot. I hope that it has challenged you, encouraged you, blessed you. I hope God has taught you through this. And I am just thankful if you have watched these videos. So thanks so much, and check in with you later.